Now we have come to the third of the three parables that Jesus told when he was challenged by the religious leaders in the temple during his last week of his ministry. The first parable presented by Grayson was the two sons, was told in parallel to their rejection of John the Baptist. The second parable was the wicked vine dressers, described how God would reject them because they had rejected his prophets. Now, the third parable that we will be talking about is the wedding feast. In this parable, we will see the wickedness and the rebelliousness of the chief priest and the elders more vividly described. Now, in the wedding feast, we're going to see the rejection of the truth more clearly than in the previous two parables. In this parable, we will see Jesus portrayed as the royal son in the wedding feast. And in this parable, this earthly story, with a heavenly meaning, we will see people reject kindness, reject the invitation which had been so graciously offered to them. We will see God's judgment. The previous parable described judgment upon Israel for rejecting God's son. So does this parable, but it also describes judgment upon those who have accepted the king's invitation but their own way. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll be staying here for a while because this is where the parable is located. Let's look at it and read through it. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat cattle are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their own ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highway, and as many as you can find, invite them to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" So after we read this parable, we see that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a wedding feast. This isn't the first time, and it's not unique here to where something like that is likened to a wedding or a wedding feast. In Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 7, we can see it reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." We can see this being a parallel or a comparison to Christ and the church and the marriage that we have through baptism. And yet, in the parable, the invitation is spurned. It is rejected. It is whether by those who were indifferent, in verse 3 through 5, who went back to their own cattle or back to their own shop, or by those who were rebellious, who killed the servants that told them, gave them the invitation in verse 6. Now, Jesus may have referenced here in the parable the Jewish nation, as he did in the parable of the wicked vine dressers. The king, as we read in verse 7, had a furious reaction to those who thoughtlessly rejected his invitation and abused his servants. Later we read that they are destroyed. And since they are destroyed, the invitation is extended to others. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 8 through 10, we see that then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go to the highways, and as many as you can find, invite them to the wedding." You can see here the apostles did this. Paul did this. He went to the synagogues first, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. We can read this that phrase throughout the New Testament, and this is clearly what Jesus will be is referencing to. Now, as in the parable of the wicked vine dressers, the opportunity to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God is extended to others, the blessings that Tyler so described. Now, this has a reference to the offer of the gospel to the kingdom of the Gentiles. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 8 and we're going to read the story about Jesus heals a centurion's servant, 5 through 13. Now, Jesus here was marveled at the faith of this man who came to Jesus to get him to heal his the servant. And we read in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, as we continue on in our study of the parable of the wedding feast back in chapter 22 of Matthew, we see in verse 11 and 12 that a man arrived at the wedding and did not have the appropriate garment on. Now, to us, it may seem rather weird that a person didn't come in with a garment on, but he did have a garment on, but not the one that was provided to him. It was customary for the hosts back in Jesus' time for the hosts to provide their guests with suitable apparel or garment, and to not wear one, the provided clothing, showed a lack of respect and appreciation, for it did cost a lot to get this kind of clothing for all the guests in the wedding. So there's no real excuse, as we read in chapter 12, could be chapter 22, verse 12, no excuse could be offered the person since everything was ready and provided, and he was cast out. The king was serious with this the insult was serious, and it's seen in his reaction. The king cast him out, bound him, and said there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this isn't unique. We see that phrase all throughout the Bible in the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 and 50, we see there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in both of those verses. So Jesus' conclusion of this whole parable towards the end, the eight words sum up this long parable. "For many are called, but few are chosen." This summarizes the main point of the entire parable. The invitation of God is extended to many, but few receive in such a way to be among the chosen. Now, this parable was clearly told, and to response to the rejection of the king's son and his kingdom by the Jewish nation. However, the elements of the parable apply to us as well. The invitation to attend the wedding feast is still being offered today. So, with that in mind, let's continue to study this parable. Now, it may be that you might have spurned or rejected the invitation, whether it be through indifference. There are many people today who don't know God because of the lack of interest, or maybe they're just too busy, or just aren't bothered or even seek anything of religion. Yet God has ordered the affairs of life to encourage faith and interest into him. So what does that mean? Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27. It reads, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." So they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, for he is not far from each one of us. So what does these verses say? Well, if we read in verse 26, it says that God put everyone on this earth with the ability to find him, whether it be through nature and people around him or by other Christians. Everyone that is on this earth is possible to find the Lord. So we read in verses like Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth of those who do not follow him. Another reason why people might reject the invitation might be through rebelliousness. Now, there are many people who know full well about Christ and Jesus and the Father's invitation. And yet they for whatever reason, they reject it. Whether it be despite their parents, despite their friends, to be different, whether in doing so, they reject the riches of God's grace. and store up for themselves God's judgment. Now, certainly, all should respond to the Father's invitation if they desire to enjoy the spiritual blessings, as we have read in the previous parable, the kingdom of heaven. But as we learn from the parable, there is also more. Are you attired for the wedding? Many seek to attend the wedding in the clothing of their own choosing. What does that mean? So clothing of their own choosing. So obviously, God doesn't care about our clothing as what we wear, what brand, rather, but some not knowing, as we read on, some not knowing the righteousness of God have sought to establish their own way of obtaining salvation. And this is what the clothing is referring to. People do this today when they expect salvation on terms different than those taught in the gospel, whether it be trying to obtain salvation based on their own good works, on faith without repentance and obedience. Now, we must be willing to put on the robe and garment that God gives us, the apparel to be in the wedding feast so we may not be cast out. But how do we do that? How do we put on the robe and garment? A verse I'd like to draw your attention to would be Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 26 through 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So from this we can read that we can put on the garment, the apparel that was given to us to put on in the wedding, by going through this verse, through baptism. Have you put on Christ in baptism? Now we must put on this new man. Paul applies the figure putting on the garment and the development of Christian conduct and character in Colossians chapter 3. But do we wish to be found at the wedding feast adorned in the garments of the old man with his deeds or the sinful way? No. No. We read that through this parable. Now, to sum up, we read through this parable that we have been truly blessed to be given the opportunity to receive the Father's invitation and the wedding feast. But we learn from Jesus and his parables that the kingdom of heaven is for those who thankfully and properly receive his grace that God has to offer in his way. Not our own ways and the teachings of man, but what we see in the gospel. The example of the nation of Israel should serve as a warning to all, that while God's call of the gospel is open to all, the saying of Jesus still remains. The saying that sums up the whole parable and a thing that we should take away from this parable. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now you have been called. We all have been called. Will you be chosen? Will you believe, as we read in John 3:16? Will you repent, as we read in Acts 2:38? Will you confess in Romans 10:10? Will you be baptized in Mark 16:16? Put on the spotless white garment washed in Christ's blood and becoming a new man? And will you remain faithful? Revelation 2:10. If you are subject to the invitation tonight, we come forward as together we stand and sing.